Even when circumstances are challenging our thought processes, you got to stay with the flow. Look at somebody and say, don't back down. Tell them, don't give up. God is on His way to your situation right now. He's never late. He's right on time. And He will be there for you. How many believe that this morning? Let me see your hand. You believe that? I believe that. God is always on time. Hallelujah. You know, I believe that it's important that we get this mentality so that we can create an environment in our sphere of influence. We ought to create an environment that is bringing expansion, bringing increase into the lives of those that are connected with us. And in this region, Northeastern Ohio, and in particular our city, we've got to change the mentality, change the way people think. So we've got to start that way ourselves. We've got to begin to think in terms of expansion. How can I expand my borders? How can God stretch me and take me to another level? You know, one of the things that Bishop T.D. Jakes teaches is that every person ought to have at least 7 streams of income. See, a lot of us have been brought up that we get a job, we're thankful for that, but that's only one stream. You say, well, what else can I do? I can't work 6 other jobs. No, you might not be able to, but there may be some passive income that you might be able to do. Maybe it's a rental piece of property. Maybe it's some kind of little investment. Maybe it's selling vitamins from your home. I don't know what it is, but see, we've got to start thinking bigger and go beyond where our borders are. We talked about it last week. We need to remap our territory. We need to begin to think in terms of what can God do with me that He hasn't yet done. And what is in front of me is much greater. In other words, the rest of my days are going to be the best of my days. Can you tell somebody that this morning? The rest of your days will be the best of your days? Come on, you got to tell somebody that. See, you got to begin to believe that. Church, listen, you cannot get up in the morning with the mully grubs. You can't walk around thinking that you're not going to have the victory and you're not going to get the breakthrough. You'll never get it if that's what your mentality is. You and I have got to get up in the morning and say, all right, this is the day that the Lord hath made and I'm about to tear it up for Jesus. Amen? You've got to get that mentality. You've got to get that eye of the tiger, so to speak, you know. And you've just got to be a resolve that you're not going to back down. Now take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 16 with me. Luke chapter 16 and verse 9. I'm excited about this morning. I've been praying about this for months. We've been anticipating this Spring Seed Sunday as a potential for tremendous, tremendous breakthroughs in our lives. We're putting a demand on the kingdom of God. We're putting a demand on the anointing of God. You say, well, I don't know. Do we have a right to put a demand on the anointing? Of course we do. A woman with the issue of blood, she put a demand on the anointing of God. How about the blind Bartimaeus? He put an anointing, a demand on the anointing. You see, we have to put a demand on the anointing of God. It's what gets the attention of God. Did you know that Cornelius put a demand on the anointing? How did he do that? He built a memorial before God. Acts chapter 10 and verse 1 tells us, as he gave alms and prayers always unto the Lord, God was attracted to him. And it says that he then gave a vision to Peter, and Peter got a word from the Lord about Cornelius. They had never met. There are people right now in your network that you have not met yet, that God is moving upon, that God is beginning to speak to, that is going to cause him to cross your path. And that individual is going to bring blessing to you. Did you know that Peter brought the Holy Spirit baptism to the house of Cornelius? Did you know that Cornelius was the key that opened up the entire Gentile world and that the gospel began to be preached all over the world? Why? Because Cornelius understood something about promotion. He understood something about sowing. He understood something about giving. It gets God's attention. Now I want you to begin thinking this morning that there are people that you have not yet met. You know, I met some couples this past week who got together at Singles Ministry and ended up getting married. And you know, they didn't know each other before. All of a sudden, you know, this person's over here and this person's over here, had never met. And they get in an environment where they meet, and suddenly now they're getting married. They have a home, they have a family, and they love each other. You think, well, how did that happen? God caused one person to move to the direction of the other person. And I want you to know today, there are people moving in your direction. You've got to begin to think that, God, I can hardly wait to meet somebody today. That's why you can't be a recluse. You can't be that introverted person that's afraid and timid and you're just passive about your future. You've got to begin to look at opportunities that God gives you every day as a chance to meet somebody and be connected with your blessing, because you never know who's got your blessing in your pocket. You know what? That person that you might meet, you don't, that's why you want to treat people right. You don't want to wrong people. You don't want to burn bridges. You want to maintain relationships. You want to make sure that you speak well of people. Because when you burn bridges and destroy relationships, that those streams or those avenues of blessing or avenues of insight or creativity or whatever God wants to do in your life are broken. You've cut them off because you got a bad attitude. Look at somebody and say, don't get a bad attitude in here. Come on. No, no, no. No bad attitudes allowed. I stand at the door this morning welcoming people. I said, you can't come in unless you smile. A smile is your passport. That's how you get in this house. We don't want no grumpy old Christians here. Now make somebody smile around you. Come on, give them a funny face or something. You see those old crazy greeters out there with those hats on? They were having a ball. They came in with all them funny hats. I'm telling you what, those were hilarious. I mean, one looked like it was a fishing hat. It had all kind of paper clips all over it. Another one had a bunch of fruit attached to the hat. I said, what in the world is this? Well, we're just having fun. We're having time and where we can smile and we can be a blessing. Luke chapter 16. Look at verse 9. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous mammon. Deceitful riches, money, possessions. So that when it fails, they, those who have favored, you have favored, may receive and welcome you into the everlasting habitations and dwellings. Now, the thing I was just talking about for the last 5 minutes is right there in that verse. I don't know that we have really concentrated on the content of that verse in the past. We read that scripture, but we don't understand what God just said. Jesus said, make friends with your money. Now you say, that's weird. You mean you can buy people? No, no, that's not what he said. Let's look at the next verse. He who is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and he who is dishonest and unjust in a very little thing is dishonest and unjust also in much. Now we know that scripture, but I'm not sure we're very familiar with verse 9, but we're going to look at it today. Verse 11, therefore you have not been faithful in the case of unrighteous mammon, which is money, deceitful riches, money, possessions. Who will entrust to you the true riches? Everybody say true riches. True riches are the anointing. It is the kingdom of God. It is the power of God. It is Jesus Christ manifest. It is His word. God says, if you're not going to be faithful in money, then I can't reveal to you the true riches in the kingdom of God. So you see, it really behooves me to know how to make friends with my money so that I can really tap in to the true riches of this world. And that is the kingdom of God. Let's continue to read. Verse 12. And if you've not proved faithful in that which belongs to another, whether God or man, who will give you that which is your own? That is the true riches. How many enjoyed that little video with the guy in your face? Yeah. He said, I did a 180 on the 360. I thought that was pretty good. You know, we're talking about if I'm not faithful in what is God's. And we know that all of our money belongs to God. God gave us all. He told us that. He said, oh yeah, you think it's your money? Well, look at your hands. Who gave you those? Duh. Right? So he gave us an argument about where our increase comes from, where our resources come from. We understand then that it belongs to God. And the scripture says, if you're not faithful in another man's, then how will God award you? We need to learn how to be faithful with that which belongs to another person. That's why it's also a principle that it's important to learn how to serve other people, how to be faithful in ministering to others' needs. Because when you're faithful in that which belongs to another man, even in the natural, beyond money, God says, ooh, that's a person I can trust. And you want to be a person that God can trust. Amen? You wouldn't let anybody house sit for you, would you? You better know them. You know their character. You have to have a confidence and trust in them, because while you're gone, they may have a party. You come back, your house will be tore up, man. There's nothing left in your house, right? So you got to have somebody that you have confidence in. God says, well, if I'm going to give you my house, I got to be able to trust you. I got to have confidence that you're not going to tear it up. So we want to prove that we have trust, that God can trust us. Verse 13, no servant is able to serve two masters. Everybody give your two fingers like that, see? Two masters, right? For either he will have hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, riches, or anything in which you trust, on which you rely. Isn't that amazing? God says you got to serve one or the other. In other words, there is a choice to be made every day in our life, whether we're going to serve God or whether we're not going to serve God. Now, the Pharisees, who were covetous and lovers of money, heard all these things taken together, and they began to sneer at and ridicule and scoff at him. But he said to them, "You are the ones who declare yourselves just and unjust and upright before men, but God knows your heart. For what is exalted and highly thought of among men is detestable and abhorrent and an abomination in the sight of God." Verse 16, until John came, there were the law and the prophets, and since then the good news, the gospel, the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone strives violently to go in, would force his own way rather than God's way into it. That's interesting, isn't it? There are some people that are trying to get in the kingdom of God their own way, through their own definitions and through their own strategies and their own standards, and God says, "You know what? If it doesn't match mine, you're not getting in." So there is a dimension in the kingdom of God that we've got to learn. There's God's ways that we've got to learn. And last week we discovered in our message that there are marks that are being applied to the lives of people. We found out that there is a mark of the beast. We also found that there is a mark of the anointing, a mark of Jesus Christ. You remember that last week? We talked about that. We said that the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ is found in Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. And I'm not going to have time to read that. But it says, we rule over possessions and positions. People who rule over their money, people who rule over their positions and their possessions are people that have been marked by the Holy Spirit as what we call a bond servant. A bond servant is someone who is willing to serve the Lord even though they're free not to. And those that were illustrated in the scripture are those that after 6 years had to be released from their servitude, and yet they chose by the taking of the piercing of the ear to acknowledge that their master has been good to them and that they wanted to willingly continue to serve him. That was the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, there is another mark. It's called the mark of the beast. We read about that in Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 to 17. The Bible says that in that day, there will be those that will take a mark. Whether it's a barcode on their forehead, we don't know, but we know this. It's the mark of 666. It's the mark of the beast who will rule and control this world. And this is how he'll do it. He will do it through money. Everybody say, he will control the world through money. Therefore, whoever is enslaved to money will be controlled by the beast. Right? If he's going to control the world through money, then those that are enslaved to money will be controlled by the Antichrist. So we find out that possessions and positions rule over us. So that really is the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is not necessarily putting something on your hand or putting something on your forehead. But it is something that comes from your heart. The mark is really on the forehead or the hand, just an external sign of that which has been imprinted upon the heart. How many know that God is a God of the heart? Do you know that? Yeah. Taking the mark of the beast is not the sin that would bring judgment. I want to say this because if you took the mark of the beast, that does not necessarily mean that you're going to be judged to hell. Because you can have an external mark, but internally, you're not following the ways of the beast. But so, the other is true as well. You could say you've got the mark of a bondservant on the exterior, but in the inside, in your heart, you're not following the ways of lordship. You see what I'm talking about? We cannot define it through the exterior, the external things. My question is this, can one escape judgment if they refuse to take a mark, but go on living our lives according to the ways of the beast? Say, I have refused to take the mark of the beast. Cool, but you're still living the ways of the beast, which is really the mark. The ways of lordship is really the piercing of the ear. So it doesn't matter whether my ear is pierced or not on the external. It determined by my ways of my life. The kingdom of God. The means of the kingdom. That's what Jesus was just saying in our text in Luke chapter 16, verses 9 to 16. There are those that are trying to get into the kingdom of God in their own way, in their own means. So we have to come to a conclusion here, ladies and gentlemen, that in the kingdom of God, there are those who are and there are those who are not. And it's not necessarily defined by what we can see and how they what they profess or what they wear or where they go to church or how many times they go to church. No, it's determined by the heart. So our giving this morning in Spring Seed is not necessarily an external thing. It's not how much you give. It is determined by the source of your life, which is your heart. Whether it lines up with the ways and the means of lordship of Jesus Christ. See, rather, we ought to be more concerned about the mark. No. We shouldn't be as concerned about the mark. We should be more concerned if whether or not we are serving the ways of the beast. Am I serving the ways of the beast? Because if I am, according to Scripture, I am now presently carrying the mark. I will not have to go to some social center, stand in line to receive a mark on my hand or on my forehead, because it will manifest from my heart outward. This will not be something that the government will have to issue you. You issue your own mark. And it births out of your own heart. Woo-hoo. My God, one day you woke up and, 666, man, where'd that come from? Been there all the time, down in your heart. But see, God in His mercy and His grace, in His time and this season of grace that we're living under, He's giving us opportunity and giving us time. Everybody say, He's giving us time to make a decision as to whether or not we're going to take the mark of the beast. Or are we going to take the mark of lordship? I don't know about you, but like Joshua asked for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen? Come on, lift up your hands and give Him a praise. Yeah. Woo! I'm going to serve the Lord. I've already decided. When I get up one morning, it's going to be all over me. Holiness unto the Lord. All the vessels of the house of God, all of a sudden, they're like, where'd you get that? I don't know. It's in my heart all the time. Well, isn't that what Jesus taught out of the abundance of the mouth? So we know that what's in the heart will eventually manifest. The ways of the beast, or the ways of lordship. That's why I recognize today as a bondservant, I own no cash, houses, material goods, even the coat I've got on belongs to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if He said to me, give that coat to that man over there, guess what? You got it. Because it's not mine anyway. He said, give that car. Guess what? Here are the keys. I'll keep making the payments. You drive the car debt free. Because it's not my car. It's a revolutionary way in thinking. But those that adapt, those that operate on this means of lordship are the ones that are going to attract increase and attract expansion. So are you serious this morning about increase? Are you serious about being expanded, or is it just make for a good song to sing? Hey, no. I'm on my way to increase, amen? I want to be expanded on the right and the left. I want to be stretched by God. Why? Because I want to be a blessing on the earth. That's the Abrahamic promise and the covenant of God who said, I will bless you that you might bless others, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed through you. Hallelujah. So we got to understand the yoke of the beast. See, my feeling is if prosperity is your goal, then you will serve the one who gives it to you. And if prosperity is your goal, God is not going to give you prosperity. Now watch this. You call yourself a Christian, you can go to church. But if prosperity is your goal, it's not coming from His hand. Woo, that's something that can be deceiving, can't it? Because you think you're blessed because you got cash in your pocket. You think you're blessed because you open up your second or third or fourth business. You think you're blessed. No, no, no. That just because prosperity is your goal does not mean that God has blessed you. If responsibility is your goal, now we're talking a different subject. If responsibility in the kingdom of God is your goal, prosperity will come in order to provide for that responsibility that you've accepted. But if prosperity is your goal, most of us want prosperity without what? Responsibility. Those are those that have taken the yoke of the beast. But those that have taken the lordship of Jesus Christ are the ones that want responsibility. And when prosperity comes, it is used for the fulfillment of the responsibility that God has given us. Completely different. It's an upside down kingdom. The way in is out. Out. The way up is down. He who humbles himself shall be exalted. Amen? See, we got to learn the ways of the kingdom of God. Everybody say the ways of the kingdom. Go over to Matthew chapter 4, please, and verse 8. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8. I just want to break this down to you for a minute, and then we're going to get to preaching. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory and the splendor and the magnificence and the preeminence and excellence of them. And he said to him, these things all taken together, I'll give to you if you will prostrate yourself before me and do homage and worship me. And Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it has been written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you worship. Interesting. He said, if you'll submit to me, if you'll bow down to me, if you'll pay homage to me, if, in other words, you'll make me the object of your affection, I will give you all the kingdoms of this world. If you let money become the object of your affection, you will get the kingdoms of this world. You will be rewarded. You say, well, how can that happen? I don't understand. How does God bless the sinner? God doesn't bless the sinner. Satan blesses the sinner. The devil knows how to bless the unrighteous. Why? Because it's his to give. But we've got to understand something. See, if you make prosperity your goal, you're in trouble. You are already treading on thin ice. You do not want money to be your magnification in your life. You do not want money to be your focus. You do not want prosperity to be your number one goal in life. And if it is, repent now. Get away from it. Get under your feet. Say, God, I am not letting money rule me. I am not hungry for prosperity. I do not want to operate in that realm. I want to operate in responsibility. You see, the yoke of the beast is simply this. It is greed. The yoke of the beast is greed. You know what I found out about people who's making money their focus? Is they can't get enough. When prosperity is their focus, it doesn't matter how much they get, they want more. In other words, they become selfish and their grasping desire for possessions, especially wealth. You know, I don't understand what motivates some of these financiers in our country. You know, they've already got, you know, mass real estate that they own and companies, and they keep doing it. They keep doing it. Now, what motivates a Donald Trump to keep doing what he does when he's worth billions of dollars already? I mean, how much do you need? How much can you spend in a day? You say, well, I could tear up some money. No, no, you had billions, you couldn't hardly spend it. But there's something inside that will grab hold of that person's spirit and cause them to wrangle for more. And it will drive them. They'll be cunning. They'll be deceitful. They will take advantage of others. Did you know that people on the streets of our major cities in America will cut you for $5? They'll cut you to take your shoes off your feet or your coat. Now, what motivates a person to do that? greed. It's a selfish and grasping desire for possessions, especially wealth. Now, this is interesting because the devil came to Jesus and said, if you'll just worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of this world. You know what really gets my mind wondering is why would Jesus submit to the devil's offer for something he already has coming? Satan will promise to provide you what God has already promised and provided in His Word. He said, you follow me and give up houses, a house, I'll give you houses. He said, I promise to meet all your needs according to my riches and glory. I promise to bless you. So why would we worship Satan or worship money in order to get the things that God has already said that He would give us? You know, I asked myself that question. I kept asking myself this week. I said, Lord, you've got to show me, what is it that motivates us to take the yoke of the beast, to take the mark of the beast, even though we know better, what motivates us to do that, to get a house, to get cash, to get cars, to do whatever we have to do, to forsake the kingdom of God, to ignore my Bible, to ignore lordship, to ignore supporting my local church, to ignore the going in the world and providing missions and reaching out to nations and bringing them into Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. What is it that motivates me in order to do that? And I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a simple thing. It basically is avoidance. Everybody say cross avoidance. Say it one more time. Cross avoidance. One more time. Cross avoidance. In other words, the pathway to the prosperity is in understanding responsibility. And then know this, that on your way to prosperity, you've got to go through the cross. But you don't have to go through the cross with the devil. He says, I give you all this. Hey, listen, right now, Jesus, you just come worship me and I'm going to give you the kingdoms of this world. Do you know Revelation chapter 11, it says, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Christ and of our Lord. In other words, he was being promised the very thing that God already told him he's going to get. But he knew that he wasn't going to get it until he went to the cross. Satan said, you don't have to go to the cross, and I can still give you these things. In other words, you don't have to die to sin. You don't have to die to self. You don't have to die to me. All you have to do is just worship me. Bow before me, I'll give you the same things God gave, and my price tag is easy. I mean, no, the devil is a liar. And people today are being deceived. People today are being misled. Even Christians today are being misled. They're being deceived in that pursuit of the almighty dollar. I like what the guy said on the video, the dead presidents. We hunger and thirst after, give me some more money. And Satan's temptation was to avoid the cross and still attain the promise. I'm going to tell you right now, serving God will require your life. You cannot serve God and mammon. You got to make a choice. You're going to serve money, you can live now. But you're going to die later. Or if you're going to serve God, you can die now and live later. I want to ask you today, what do you want to do? What choice will you make? Whom will you serve? If God be God, then serve Him. But if Baal be God, then serve him. Come on, somebody. We need to make a division in the house of God. Somebody's got to stand up and begin to make their declaration that I am blood washed, Holy Ghost filled, Bible believing, devil crushing, Bible thumping. We got to believe. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve this world? Come on, look at somebody and say, I'm going to serve God. Come on, put your hands together and bless him this morning. bless the Lord, oh my soul. No, you're not blessing Him. You're just giving Him a hand clap. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. I'm going to serve the Lord. Look at somebody and put your chest out. Come on, stand up. I mean, come on, get in. This is interactive time. Stand up, put your chest out. Say, I'm not afraid of the cross. Come on, I ain't afraid of the devil. I'm on my way to a new life through the cross. Give somebody a high five and shout glory. Come on, come on, come on. You may be seated. To seek the promise without going to the cross. I'm afraid of the cross. You see, what happens at the cross? Greed dies. Greed's afraid of the cross. You know what else is afraid of the cross? Self. Self will talk you out. It's like getting up in the morning and exercising. You know how your self will talk to you? That's like schizophrenic, man. You know that? You get up in the morning and say, I'm going to work out. And he said, no, we ain't. Oh, yes, we are. We are going to work out. We're going to lift weights. We're going to do push-ups. We're going to run 4 miles. We're going to eat right today. No, you're not. Yes, I am. You start preaching to yourself. And suddenly that apple pie shows up. And that apple pie starts preaching. Come on and take a bite of me. Huh? Say, no, I'm not going to take a bite. You know, self doesn't want to go to the cross. But self's got to die. Greed has got to die. Sin has got to die. Why doesn't sin want to go to the cross? Because sin is pleasurable for the moment. Sin is pleasurable. It is fun to sin. Don't look at me like that. You all know that. How many know that sin is fun? All right, what about the rest of you? Your halo is crooked on them two horns. Now, come on! You know sin is fun. Sin don't want to go to the cross. They say, we go to the cross, we're going to die there. Greed's going to die there. Self is going to die there. And the devil said, guess what? You can have everything God promised, and you don't have to die. Therein, my friends, is the dividing line in the kingdom of God. That's the dividing line right there. Those that want to serve God and die to self and greed and sin, and those that say, you know what, I want to serve God and keep me alive, keep pursuing money, and keep on sinning. We have created a culture that embraces that in this hour. We've got churches in America that preach, hey, it's cool, man. God understands. Take a little wine for your stomach, your head, your ulcer, your everything. Take it. Get drunk. Don't get drunk. Just get close. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, God understands. You were lonely. A little bit of sex ain't bad. Just repent afterwards. God loves you. Dirty dog, you. Come on. What about the cross? What about dying to sin? What about dying to self? What about dying to greed? What about dying so that something can be birthed in us? And you know what's birthed in us when we die? Others. You can always tell a person who's been to the cross, who's got the mark of Jesus Christ, because they've got other people on their mind before they got themselves on their mind. But if they got themselves on their mind, that's a good indication that in their heart is a mark of the beast. When you see pictures of people from Africa or Haiti or around the world that don't know Jesus, that are in bondage to religious spirits, Something inside of you ought to well up. You ought to begin thinking, I don't know what I can do for them, but I got to do something. If I can just pray a little bit, if I can just send $1 or $5, if I can just go with pastor, if I can send into Uganda, whatever I could do to preach to those pastors, to change a nation that will literally change a continent. Oh my God, I can't hardly stand it. When are we going to go? When are we going to do it? Those are individuals who have been to the cross. Because they've come back from the cross, not with themselves on their mind, but with others on their mind. That's what motivated Jesus to go to the cross, and that's what brought him out of the cross, and that's what brought him up out of the tomb. It was you and it was me. We were on his mind. That's what caused him to drink the cup. Because he saw you on the other side. Hallelujah. Who do you see? Who do you see this morning? What do you see? What moves you? What motivates you? What's filling your heart? That's why spring seed is so powerful to me. There's a dimension on it this year that we've never experienced in the last 13 years. There's an anointing on this seed that we've never experienced before. You know what it is? It's called maturity, understanding. We're getting understanding. We know our place. We're finding our place in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But the yoke of Jesus, he said, chapter 11, verses 29 to 30. You know what he said? He said, take my yoke upon you. For it is what? Easy. Oh, it ain't easy to die. Oh, it is if you go to the cross. Because he already died for you. He already suffered for you. He already paid the price for you. All you got to do is show up. Most of us think the way out of our situation and difficulty is to make more money. I could just make more money. I could just get a little more money. I could have some more money. Man, I just need more money. We think that money is what's going to get us out of every situation that we're in. You know what it is, though? It is putting in God's hand what you have. If all you have is a couple fish, and you put that in his hand, that's all you need, because it's called the multiplication factor. See, that you got to be willingness to let go in order for God to increase. But if you don't let go, he can't do anything with that fish and that bread. I believe there were a lot of people in that crowd of 5,000 who had a little bit of fish and a little bit of bread. I believe there were more than one. How many believe that there was only one little boy who had some fish and bread in 5,000 people? No, there are other people there. But all of them were holding on to what they got. They thought, hey, I'm not giving this up. It ain't enough for me. Right. It's not enough for me. Everybody say it's not enough.
Not enough.
For me.
For me.
I'm number one. That's what they were saying. Well, this little lad come up, he said, this is hardly enough for me. Yeah. I might as well share it. Yeah. I might as well give it. Yeah. And I might as well see what God will do. So he came up to Jesus. He said, one of his disciples, one of his men, he said, hey, I got this fish, and I got this bread. They probably thought, oh, man, this is stupid. What are we going to tell them? Okay, Jesus. Hey, Jesus, guess what? Jesus, this little kid's got some fish and some bread. He said, bring it to me. I like that. Bring it to me. First, you got to give it, and then it has to be brought to him. See, when you bring your spring seed this morning, we're gonna give it, and then we're going to bring it to him. We're going to bring it to him through Holy Ghost prayer and laying on of hands. We're going to bring it to him. And when it got in the hands of Jesus, what happened? Boom! It multiplied. And they began to dish it out. Why? Because the goal of that fish and that bread was others. That's the yoke of Jesus Christ. It's that we've got other people on our mind. I mean, I have people all the time. I stand at that door, I get all kinds of requests. I get people coming in that are broken. I get people coming in that are rejoicing. I get people coming in that need prayer for healing. Whatever it is. And even this morning, a lady coming in, she doesn't want to talk about what she has need of, but she is in a desperate situation. Everybody say desperate. Desperate, desperate means that if something doesn't happen, she's going to be on the street. On the street. No, no, no. You're not going on the street. Not if you come to God's house and let your request be made known unto me. No, no, no. You're not going on the street. Not when we got all these people in here who've got one thing on their mind, other people's desperate situations. See, that's what your giving is all about. Your giving is all about those individuals who are in desperate situations.
So look at somebody and say, just write the check. That's what I told Tina. I said, go back and tell somebody, just write the check. Let's put her out of her misery right now. Put her out of her wonderment right now. Let her enjoy the rest of the service right now. Don't let the devil tell her she has to go home and she's a loser right now. Bless her, bless her, bless her right now. Come on, somebody say praise the Lord. Give me two hallelujahs. They're free. You can give them or you can hold them. I'm giving my hallelujahs to Jesus. Amen. You see, we've got to understand something today in Luke chapter 16 and verse 9. We got to understand that we need to make friends. You know, that scripture is powerful. God said, Jesus said, he said, here's what I want you to do. He said, when his people are trapped, the hordes of the enemy are bearing down, he delights in doing some of his mightiest miracles. Part that Red Sea. I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous men, that when you fail, they may receive you into their everlasting home. You know, when you need a dollar and you haven't got nothing to eat, and I come up and say, hey, brother, I just want to bless you. Go get yourself a burger. Here you go. Take that out. Are you my friend? Yeah, I'm your friend. I made him to be my friend. You know what this church needs to do? We need to make friends in this city. Amen. Yes, sir. Friends of who? Friends of those that can't pay their bills, that don't have any food to eat, that don't have any clothes to wear. Amen. Single moms that are trying to struggle and make it. We need to become friends. How we do that? By being a blessing. We need to make friends. It ought to be our priority to make friends. People ought to know when they come to the house of God, they don't get a handout. Now, there are some criteria. Can't come up in here and say, well, I just need some help. No, are you a tither? So I don't have nothing to give. Everybody has something. All you gave is 12 cents this year, then you must have had 120 bucks. Or no, $12. Sorry. Thank you, sister. But you see what I'm saying? If you say, well, I gave 12 cents this year. Well, she must not be tithing. No, no, no. That's all she made was $12.50. She put four buttons in the offering last week. That's cool, man. God loves buttons, especially when they come off your shirt. So there are some criteria, but at the same time, that is our role. I was talking to a pastor and his wife this week. They don't have any health insurance. She's pregnant, about to deliver a baby. Their church only runs about 50 to 60 people. They've given money to pay for the hospital and for the doctor. That's $3,500. But she's going in to deliver this baby, and she says, there's no money for an epidural. I said, you need an epidural offering. Now, some of you guys don't know what I'm talking about. So you ladies, can I get an amen? Yeah. Say, nah, just do it natural. Hey, glory. Well, maybe that's all right. But that's another $1,500. Everything inside of me was saying, where can I find $1,500? I'm going to bless this woman with $1,500. I'm going to get an epidural offering somewhere. I'm going to bless her. I'm going to send it in the mail this week. God, give me $1,500. Lord, if you give me $1,500, I would send to her an epidural offering. I know that sounds stupid, but guess what? She'd be my friend then. Not me, but God. She would be a friend of God because she knows it didn't come from me. It came from the hand of God. You know how much fun it is to give? How many know what? What isn't it fun to give? Is it fun? It is fun to give. Matter of fact, I think Jesus said that. It's more fun to give than it is to give. He said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Look at somebody and say it's more fun to give than it is to give. You see, we've got to do unto others who are in need. That's what 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 19 says. He tells us, matter of fact, we ought to read that because it's too good of a scripture to pass up. 1 Timothy, look at it with me. Come on, just turn in your Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse 17. And for the rich in this world, say that's me. Okay, six of you think you're rich. Okay, come on. As for the rich in the world, say that's me.
That's me.
Charge them. Charge them. You see, you're talking about money. See, that's where we are stuck in money. I got true riches, baby. I am a wealthy man in the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about cash. I get that too, but God shows it up on time when I take responsibility. All right, anyway. Charge them not to be proud with and arrogant and contemptuous of others, not to set their hopes on uncertain riches, but on God, who richly, ceaselessly provides us with his everything for our enjoyment. Charge them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be liberal and generous of heart, ready to share with others. In this way, laying up for themselves the riches that endure forever, a good foundation for the future, that they may grasp what about life and what it is. Listen, that's what you're doing when you're giving. You're laying a good foundation. You are following the admonitions of God when you give onto somebody else. That's what happened in Acts chapter 10 and verse 1 with the Cornelius. And Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, money is a heart or character test. That's all it is. It is a heart or character test. Once you cross over and walk in the realm of giving, once you cross over and walk in the realm that you don't own anything, it is a wonderful life. It takes all the stress off. It takes all the pressure off. Because you live each day and you say, well, God, you've got to do this. You said in your word, God, it's not me, it's you. It's all about you, not about me. And you look for opportunities, even if it is an epidural offering, then that's what we do. I'm looking for an opportunity for that. I don't know where the money's going to come from, but I'm going to find $1,500. That's not a lot of money. You say, well, that's a lot of money for me. It is, but it's not for God. Why? Because I know I heard that for a purpose. I heard that. You know, they didn't tell me because they were asking for money. They were just talking about, you know, what they're going to do, and they told us how they were giving a praise report, how God supplied the $3,500 because they don't have health insurance. Because the church can't pay them enough to pay to get health insurance. So they're pastoring a church, working full time, don't have health insurance. So the church came up with $3,500. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God for the church that came up with $3,500. But they need $1,500 more. I said, well, no, they don't think so. You just give that thing natural. They should just, it'll be over in a little bit. Just grin it and bear it. It's easy for you to say. You're sitting here with no epidural need. Luke 16, verse 11, money's use determines the level of release of true riches. So financial independence, you want to know how it is and what the definition of financial independence is? Are you ready? Here it is. Financial independence, never having to make a decision based on financial considerations, but simply on the revealed will of God. Never having to make a decision based on financial conditions, but just on the revealed will of God. That's financial independence. In other words, I don't have to say, can we give this? Do we have enough to give? God said, do it. I just do it. That's financial independence. That's where God wants us to go. That's why we've got to start thinking promotion. That's why we need to start expanding our borders. That's why we need to get more streams of income. That's why we as God's people cannot be going into debt on selfish greed. Come on, church. You see what I'm talking about? Because we've got to position ourselves to do the will of God in the earth at the bidding of the Holy Ghost. If God said, go to Haiti with preacher, and you go to your bank account, write the check, and you go. You don't say, well, where am I going to get the money? I don't know where I'm going to get the money. I can't do that. That's just too much money. I guess I can't go. And God said, well, gee, man, I know I had a blessing for you there. You're going to be anointed. You're going to be used there. But I can't go because you're not financially independent. See, it would be our goal to become financially independent. That's why Paul told in Romans, he told the church in Romans, he said, owe man nothing but to love him. So we just got to get to that place where we are financially independent. It's our goal, amen? You say, well, I'm a long way from there, but that's all right. A journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. You just got to take a step. You say, what's the step? Well, you know, I'm not a tither. Well, then just start giving 1%. You say, well, I can't give 1%. Well, I can give 0.5%. You see, and then next week or next month, give 2%. And then six months from now, give 5%. See, what you're doing here is you're moving toward, you're walking in faith. You're beginning to take steps of faith. And say, Lord, I'm on my way. You know, I got myself in a mess, but God, help me out. And that's why I said when hordes of the enemy are coming down upon you, and it happened in Israel so many times where the hordes of the enemy were coming down upon them, right? And they had no way out, and God parted the Red Sea. God made a way where there was no way. And I believe God will make a way for you this morning. He will make a way for your family if you've got a mindset that says, I have to go to the cross. When his people are trapped. You ever feel trapped financially? I've been there. I pastored in this church some 28 years or whatever it's been. It's been a long time. I could lose track. I've been here so long, people come and gone, come and gone. I think some have died and got resurrected and came back. I don't know. I've seen little kids grow up and get married and have kids, and I'm trying to think, okay, what, did I marry you or did I marry your parents? Or, I mean, I get confused. been here a long time. And we have struggled financially as a church for 28 years. I said, God, this thing's not to be. I know a lot of churches have struggled, but I'm just talking about us. I said, God, we have struggled for a long time. But you see, it's not necessarily the people that don't want to give. It's just that they have not reached financial independence. They've not understood the concept of promotion, the Jabez principle. They've not understood that they are higher and more nobler than all their brethren. That God has saved you for a purpose in this hour. And that you are channels of blessing for this generation. We have to understand that. That's a call of God upon our lives. And I'm telling you right now, God is setting us up. This ministry is being set up to be a blessing to the world. We're going to be a blessing to the city, to our Jerusalem, amen, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of what? The world. God wants us to be a blessing. Can you say praise the Lord? I want you to bow your heads with me just for a moment, please. Whew, Holy Spirit, right now, just come into this room. Holy Spirit, just touch right now. Touch right now, Holy Spirit. Whew, come on. I sense Him doing something in our lives. I sense Him adjusting something in our hearts. Ooh, I sense it. I sense it. I sense it. I'm discerning right now that somebody's going to the cross. I discern somebody right now saying, you know what? Prosperity is not my goal. Responsibility is in the kingdom of God. Bring that table out here, gentlemen. This morning, here's what I want to do. As we're heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to take that spring seed in your hand. Those of you that are participating, I want you to take it in your hand. Those of who are not going to participate, maybe the Holy Ghost has spoke to you during this service, take a regular envelope and just write on it, spring seed. If you don't have a spring seed envelope, just take one out and write SS on it. It doesn't matter. But right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I decree and I declare that as people right now are giving this offering, that something is going to supernaturally happen inside of them that's going to cause a change of their future. I believe, Lord God, deaf ears are going to be opened up. I believe, oh God, tumors are going to be gone. I believe lumps are going to dissipate. I believe, oh God, right now, hallelujah, blood diseases are cleansing. I believe, oh God, depression and anxiety is going to cease. I believe, Father, as people walk forward and give their offering this morning, that there is going to be a supernatural release in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Tina, would you join me up here on this step? I want you to play something. Just worship the Lord real quietly for a minute. Here's what we want to do. We want to just take an usher. You're going to have to help us. We're going to have to move quickly as we can. But I felt the Lord speak that we're going to lay hands on everybody that brings their spring seed forward today. If you don't want to bring it forward, you don't have to. You can give it to the usher on the way out. But we just want to touch and agree. Touch and agree. That's what we want to do. We want to touch and agree. And so we'll start down here on this end and bring the folks this way. Now watch me, ushers. Here's what we'll do. We'll have them come this way, turn and go back that way, and they'll go out that way and back to their seat. See what I'm saying? They'll come to their right, down and around, and back to the left. And then on this side, the same way. You all will come to your left, down, and around, and then back to your right, and get back in your seat. Is that okay? Can we do that? And all we want to do now is worship. So if you'll lead us in some worship, let's just begin to praise the Lord. As you come with this offering, make a demand on the Holy Ghost. Would you do that? Okay, let's start with the first row and just have them come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you have a spring seed, bring it. If you don't, then you're not coming. That's fine. Come on. You just come around this way and back out that way. In Jesus' name, we touch and agree. Now. Now. Left and back to the right. We touch and agree. In Jesus' name. I touch and agree. I touch and agree. In Jesus' name. I touch and agree. In Jesus' name. I touch and agree. I touch and agree. In Jesus' name. Shadabokanda. Come on. Come on. Lift up your hands up and worship. I touch and agree. In Jesus' name. I touch and agree. In Jesus' name. Come on, folks. Come on. Let's worship Him. Would you? I touch and agree. I touch and agree. I touch and agree. In Jesus' name. I touch and agree. I touch and agree. In Jesus' name. I touch and agree. I touch and agree. In Jesus' name. I touch and agree. I touch and agree. In Jesus' name. I I touch and agree in Jesus' name. I touch and agree. I touch and agree in Jesus' name. I touch and agree. I touch and agree in Jesus' name. I touch and agree. 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 I touch and agree in Jesus' name. I touch and agree right now. I believe that right now. Supernatural release in Jesus' name. Supernatural release. This is the year of release. I call it done right now in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody, worship Jesus. Hallelujah. I touch and agree in Jesus' name. I touch and agree in Jesus' name. I touch and agree in Jesus' name. Be lifted up. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I touch and agree. I touch and agree in Jesus' name. 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 I touch and agree. I touch and agree in Jesus' name. I touch and agree right now. I touch and agree in Jesus' name. I touch and agree. I touch and agree for both of you right now. I touch and agree in Jesus' name. Let increase come. Let expansion come. Let expansion come in Jesus' name. Let expansion come. In Jesus' name, touch this man. In Jesus' name, I touch and agree. I touch and agree. I touch and agree. I believe God for expansion and increase. For expansion and increase. Expansion and increase. And expansion and increase. I touch and agree now in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. I believe it, God. There is a miracle in the house. There is breakthrough in the house in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for healing. Thank you for my God. Release of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name. Release, 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 release. I touch and agree. Oh, Rabo Shandara Boranda. I touch and agree, guys. I touch and agree right now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed, blessed, blessed be the name. I touch and agree. I touch and agree. I touch and agree in Jesus' name. I touch and agree right now. Right now. Right now. I touch and agree in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, I believe it today, God. I believe it for the touch of God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I touch and agree now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, I touch and agree. In Jesus' name. I touch and agree now, Lord. I touch and agree. I touch and agree, Lord. Touch and agree in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. I touch and agree in Jesus' name. I touch and agree, my God. I touch and agree. I touch and agree in Jesus' name. I come in faith believing today, Lord, in Jesus' name. I bless, Lord. I bless, I bless, I bless, I bless. I thank you, Lord. I bless, I bless, I bless. A year of release. A year of release in Jesus' name. A year of release. A year of release. I touch right now and agree in a year of release. Bless you, Jesus. I bless this family and I say, God, a year of release. Oh, a year of release. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, Deanna, a year of release. Yes, yes, a year of release. A year of release. I touch now and agree in Jesus' name. I touch now and agree in Jesus' name. I bless them. I bless them. I bless you in Jesus' name. I touch and agree right now. I touch and agree. I touch and agree. I touch and agree. Bill, I touch and agree for miracles. A year of release. A year of release in Jesus' name. I agree. I touch and agree in Jesus' name. I touch and agree, you guys. I bless you now in Jesus' name. Bless you in Jesus' name. I believe for expansion. I believe for increase. I believe, oh God, that you are stretching them beyond, oh God, their capacity. Beyond, oh God, where they've ever been before. Touch them. Touch them. Let the Spirit of the living God, Father, increase their borders. Remap their territories in Jesus' name, Lord. You see the hearts, Lord. You see the hearts, God. Bless them, Father. Give them mighty increase. Give them mighty increase. Jesus, Jesus, we call on your name for miracles, Lord. Touch Creed, God. Touch it.
Let God cause there be signs and wonders, be a release of the Spirit of God. Somebody worship! Come on, bless Him! Bless Him! I bless you, sir, in Jesus' name. I touch and agree. I agree right now for increase. I agree right now for increase. I agree right now for expansion of the kingdom of God. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I agree, I agree, I agree, I agree. Right now, we come into faith believing, and we agree, touch everything, and it shall be done. I agree, I agree. Hallelujah. I agree, I agree. I come touching and agreeing with you for a year of release. Oh, a year of release. Year of miracles, year of release, year of increase. Oh, Jesus, bless, bless. We believe, Lord, in Jesus' name. Year of increase, year of increase. Oh, hallelujah. Year of increase. Bless Him, bless Him, bless Him. Expand Her now, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, I touch and I agree. Woo! I touch and I agree. I touch and I agree. Bless, 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 bless. Oh God, release, oh Father, I pray. Release, Lord God, this year, mighty miracles, mighty miracles.